the University of Maryland Eastern Shore and sfmsports.net welcomes you to this presentation of Hawk Talk Live. It's a 60-minute look inside the athletics program at University of Maryland Eastern Shore. This broadcast is brought to you by the Henson, United States Coast Guard, the Hyatt Place Dewey Beach, Courtyard by Marriott, Ocean City Oceanfront, Pivot Athletic Training, and M Street Grill. Now your host of Hawk Talk Live, Will DeBoer.
It is 6 o'clock on the Eastern Shore, which means you're tuned into Hawk Talk Live. Tonight we are at M Street Grill in Princess Anne, and for the next hour we'll bring you all possible coverage, mind you, of Maryland Eastern Shore Athletics right here on the Shore Sports Network and sfmsports.net. Hello, everybody. Will DeBoer with you. You're a director of broadcasting here at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. It's a beautiful Thursday night from M Street Grill. And yes, Thursday, I have my Thursday sweatshirt on. Would it be Thursday if I did not have the sweatshirt on? So, yes, beautiful night for some fun on the radio here at M Street Grill. We're right off of Route 13 in Princess Anne. Great restaurant. A lot of wonderful specials. Specials tonight, of course, the pit barbecue sandwich with french fries. You can get that for $5.99. Come in and enjoy that. It's also happy hour for another hour or so. We've got Coors Light, Bud Light on draft for inexpensive prices. We got wings, we got mozzarella sticks, we got chicken fingers, and it's a wonderful time here at M Street Grill. Brandon Phillips, the owner of this restaurant, we thank him once again for the opportunity to have this show and host this show from right here in Princess Anne, basically in the backyard of Maryland Eastern Shore. So let's hop to it. Maryland Eastern Shore, men's basketball, women's basketball, indoor track, and bowling. We've got guests today from Hawk men's basketball. I think I saw Bobby Collins walk in here, so he'll be the guest. And there he is right there. Fred Batchelor will come on around 6:30. And then Damian Drummond, the head coach of Hawk indoor track, will come and talk about all that's happened with the track team, basically break down some of the differences between indoor and outdoor track, aside from, well, the obvious lack of doors for outdoor track. Now let's get to it with men's basketball. Hawk men's basketball, 1-6 in MEAC play so far this season. They're 5-17 overall, and five of those losses, excruciating losses, single-digit losses for Maryland Eastern Shore. In conference, they had only four single-digit MEAC losses all of last year when they went 9-7. Could have been 13-3. And this year, five MEAC single-digit losses. That's all but one of them. They could easily be 6-1 instead of 1-6. Two more of those close, razor-thin losses over the weekend, both of them by one possession. Starting Saturday, falling 66-64. To North Carolina A&T, the unexpected leaders at this portion of the schedule in the MEAC. It was a close game between the Hawks and the Aggies. It always is. Last year we went triple overtime against them, so you know it's going to be exciting. 11 ties, 10 lead changes. A&T's largest lead was 6 points. The Hawks led by 7. It was back and forth. Nobody could get separation. Hawks led by their 7 points late in the first half, but the Aggies were able to surge back and tie it 32-all at the break. Eastern Shore then went up 50-45 at the 13:06 mark of the second half, but couldn't hold a lead of larger than 5. A&T came back to tie it. It was 59-all. Then it was 62-all. And then Femi Olujabi, the massive post player for North Carolina A&T, sort of guy who was bruising in the paint all game, stepped out from behind the three-point line from the left wing. You can see what's coming, right? He hit a three-pointer at the 2:13 mark of the second half, 2 minutes to go, to put A&T in front 65-62. Just a bone-crushing three from a man who you did not expect to make threes. He's a four, he's a five, he's a post player. You're not supposed to step out and hit those shots. What do you think you are, Dirk Nowitzki? He thought he was Dirk Nowitzki in that moment. And so the Hawks were down by just 1 point now with 11 seconds left. They had a chance to win it, but turn it over in the backcourt. Got stripped, could not get a shot off. And the last-second heave after a free throw from the Aggies sailed short. And the Hawks fell 66-64, mind you. Two-point loss. Tyler Jones held his own against Olujabi in the paint. 18 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. Maude Frost had 15 points in that game, 8 in the first 3 minutes, and on 3 straight shots. Myron Thomas with 11 points and 7 rebounds. Monday was more of the same, a 63-60 loss to North Carolina Central, the defending league champions, both regular season and tournament. The Eagles have now won 12 straight matchups against the Hawks, 12 straight wins by NC Central. Last time Eastern Shore beat NC Central was January 21st of 2009, back when the Eagles were transitioning from Division II to Division I. The last time the Hawks have beaten the full-fledged MEAC Eagles squad was the 1979-80 season. That was the year before the MEAC reclassified as a Division I program. There was a shuffling about of the entire NCAA structure, and a handful of schools from the MEAC decided to stay in Division II. NC Central was one of those. They stayed down there until 2010. The Hawks dropped out of the conference for just a year before reclassifying to Division I. Anyway, it was another close game. Seven ties, six lead changes. Hawks were down 1 point at the half, and they trailed by 12 with 10:49 to go. It was 48-36. And Logan McIntosh took over from there. Nine straight points, 11 of his next 13 of the next 13 for the Hawks. He got them back within four. The Shore actually went up 55-54. Myron Thomas hit a couple of free throws with 3:10 to go. That lead lasted 16 seconds as Reggie Gardner Jr. hit a three to make it 57-55 for the Eagles. Hawks were down three with 12 seconds to go. Ahmad Frost missed a three, and the Hawks couldn't get the ensuing inbounds play to work with 0.8 seconds remaining on the game clock. Silver linings, Logan McIntosh, a career-high 26 points, 18 of them in the second half, and most of them during that late surge. Three rebounds and three assists for the senior as well. Myron Thomas had a double-double, 14 points, 11 rebounds. It was his third this season and his first in conference play. Last time he did it against Drake in December. Cam Bacot also had 11 points, all in the first half. Now, the negatives from all this, of course, is the fact of being 1-6. This has turned into sort of a Groundhog Day. The Hawks wake up, they get into the game, and they hang with them, just unable to pull it out. As Coach Collins alluded to in his post-game after Monday, we've got some of the components of what makes a great steak, just not all the seasonings yet, so it's still a matter of getting the right recipe. Positives, of course, Logan McIntosh is a workhorse, not that we need to tell you that. The man is the only upperclassman on roster. He's put the team on his back and done what he needed to do. He's been a scorer in some games. He's been a distributor in some games, but he does all he can in what is his final season, his final 11 or so games now of college basketball, and he's been a joy to watch. Myron Thomas has been good this week. 12.5 points and 9 rebounds over the two games against the Carolina schools. In MEAC play, he's averaging 11 points and 9 rebounds per game. And he would have been a candidate for MEAC Rookie of the Week, I'm sure. Unfortunately for him and the rest of the rookies, Howard's R.J. Cole simply had to breathe and he inhaled 20 points. He's won it 8 straight times, 9 overall, and he's almost certainly going to be the Rookie of the Year in the MEAC. If not the Player of the Year, he could pull off a Fred Lynn and an Ichiro and win them both at the same time. Next game for the Hawks is against those Howard Bison, the 1-2 punch of R.J. Cole and Charles Williams, last year's super rookie for the Bison. Cole this year is averaging 23.4 points per game. Charles Williams has 20. The third highest scorer for the Bison's Kyle Foster at 7. The Bison also have some momentum. They are coming off of 2 overtime wins against those same North Carolina schools. They downed NC Central in OT on Saturday. They downed North Carolina A&T on Monday, upsetting both those schools and ending both of their undefeated runs through the MEAC. So the Bison come to town. It's a 4 o'clock tip time for the men, approximately 4 o'clock. Of course, it all depends on when the women's game ends. Full network pregame coverage at 3:45 is the pregame coverage, and that's the whole Shore Sports Network, sfmsports.net, Fox Sports 960 in Salisbury, all the local radio stations. They're also on the road at Coppin State on Monday. Just a quick jaunt to Baltimore. Coppin State's 2-19, but they're coming off an overtime win against Morgan State on Saturday. 7:30 tip time on Monday night, full pregame coverage at 7:15. On to women's basketball. They're 2-5 in MEAC play, 5-14 overall. Saturday, the Hawks losing North Carolina A&T 57-45. They shot just 24% in the game, 16-66. You're not going to win many games if you shoot 24%. They had it tied 21 all late in the second quarter, but the Aggies went on a 5-0 run to close out and take a 5-point lead into the break. Down 11 at the end of the third quarter, and the Hawks just could never get the engine going offensively. Jordan Smith led the way for the Shore, 12 points and 11 rebounds, her first double-double in a Maryland Eastern Shore uniform. Barisha Gill-Miles with 9 points, but she shot just 3 of 12 from the floor, 10 rebounds and 3 steals. And then Siani Byram, the first scoreless game that certainly anyone around here can remember her having. Coach Batchelor was hard-pressed to find a game that she didn't score at all in her career, but no points on 0-4 shooting. Hawks did great defensively against North Carolina A&T, holding them well below their average and even out-rebounding them. A very tall team, they were able to out-rebound it by 13. They just couldn't find it offensively. Monday, things turned around. The Hawks beating North Carolina Central 84-73. It was their first time scoring not just 80 points, but 70 points against a Division I opponent this season. They beat up on Valley Forge and Wesley, a couple of D3 schools. The Hawks firing on all cylinders against the Eagles. They shot 41%, 33% from three. And they stretched their lead as large as 11 points in the third quarter, made it a blowout in the fourth after a late Eagle drive. Barisha Gill-Miles, a career-high 20 points, 10 rebounds, so her third career double-double, and 4 assists. She led the Hawks in all 3 of those categories and has almost certainly locked up another MEAC Rookie of the Week award. Kiari Eaton with a bounce back, her best game in a month, 14 points and 8 rebounds. CeCe Byram had 9 points, and then Alexis Hicks with 7. Positives for the women: they figured out the defense against North Carolina A&T, and the offense finally get on in on the act against North Carolina Central. Barisha Gill-Miles, as always, spectacular buns, will almost certainly be the Rookie of the Year in the MEAC. She's averaging 11 points, 8 rebounds in conference play. She's as much of a lock as you can find nowadays. See, Kiki Eaton is figuring out again, had her bounce back game. But for the Hawks, things are starting to come together, shall we say. They're back in action on Saturday against Howard, hosting a 3-3 school in the Howard Bison that beat Central over the weekend but lost to A&T. That's a 2 o'clock tip time, 1:50 pregame. Monday they're at Coppin State, also a 3-3 team in MEAC play. They did beat Morgan State 55-53 last Saturday. That's a 5:30 tip time. We'll have pregame coverage on sfmsports.net at 5:20. All right, we're coming up on a commercial break, but we're going to touch on indoor track and bowling before we do. Indoor track had a good weekend. They went to the Terrapin Invitational in Landover, Maryland on Saturday. Women and men both finishing in eighth place. Denise Edwards has become the first Hawk to qualify for the IC4A and ECAC championships this year. She jumped 12.11 meters in the triple jump, a solid triple jump, certainly qualifying triple jump. And it's the second time that she has qualified for the MEAC meet as well, with a distance of 12.11 in the triple jump. Sharon Jarup also had a good day. She qualified for MEACs with a strong 3,000-meter run under 11 minutes. For the men, Judah Coriette won the men's 800 meters at a time under 2 minutes. Just a good day overall for Damian Drummond and indoor track. They're in action this weekend at Navy. It's the Wesley A. Brown Invitational in the Annapolis. Hi, Chuck. Finally, bowling. Bowling finished the 11th at the Cutsdown Invitational over the weekend, going 2-1 in bracket play. They went 9-2 overall at KU, which is up in Reading, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. They pay me to talk. I can say words. Brigitte Jacobs averaging a 209 on that Saturday, the big individual day. Bowling is off this weekend, but Caleb Andy's crew heading down to Texas next. The Prairie View Invitational in Arlington, February 2nd through the 4th. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Bobby Collins is here. He's in the house. We're going to talk men's college basketball right here on Hawk Talk Live. This is the Shore Sports Network and sfmsports.net.
Hello, I'm your waiter, Serge. Would you like to hear the specials? Do they include any wings, hot and cold sandwiches, and Smith Island cake? No, you'll have to go to M Street Grill for that. All right, see ya! Hawks fans, you want to sink your teeth into great food and watch the game, right? Make M Street Grill your new home. It's a sports bar and restaurant conceived by hospitality and tourism management program students and owned by a Hawk alumni. M Street Grill in the Princess Anne University Village, 410-621-5040.
Hawks fans, For over a century, Delmarva Power has provided safe, reliable energy to customers throughout the region. That's a powerful connection you can count on from here at the shore to throughout Maryland and Delaware. To learn more, visit delmarva.com or call 1-800-375-7117. Delmarva Power. Proud sponsor of Maryland Eastern Shore Athletics.
Pivot Physical Therapy is the leading provider of physical therapy and sports medicine services in the Mid-Atlantic region, with over 270 clinic locations and providing sports medicine services to over 120 youth, scholastic, collegiate, and professional programs. Pivot Physical Therapy is in your backyard, with locations in Salisbury, Berlin, Cambridge, Easton, and Seaford. Pivot Physical Therapy and Pivot Sports Medicine is a proud partner of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, providing athletic training and physical therapy care to your Maryland Eastern Shore Hawks.
Do you need a break, a getaway? Plan a visit to Hyatt Place Dewey Beach in Delaware. Lay back, relax with your toes in the sand, and unwind to the sounds of the ocean. Please your palate with a delicious meal at Cape Hasa Restaurant on the bay while taking in the sights of a beautiful sunset. It's time to get away and make that getaway to the Hyatt Place Dewey Beach. Call 302-864-9100 or visit HyattPlaceDeweyBeach.com. Make a lifetime of memories in your own backyard at Hyatt Place Dewey Beach. That's Hyatt Place Dewey Beach on Facebook and Instagram.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Now, back to Hawk Talk Live from M Street Grill in Princess Anne on the Hawk Sports Network.
And we're back. It's Hawk Talk Live, second segment of the evening. We're joined for men's basketball by friend of the show, friend to all, Hawks head coach Bobby Collins. Hi, Coach.
Hey, Will. How you doing? I'm glad to be back.
Glad to have you back.
I missed you last week.
Feel like it's been a while. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, here we are. It's we're about halfway through the conference schedule now. Before we get to how the games have been, let's take a look at the future, shall we? Take a look into the future. Not quite into the year 2000, since that's passed already, but recruiting updates. How has recruiting gone for the 2018-19 and then beyond?
Well, I'll tell you, we're beating those bushes. All my coaches are out. I was out yesterday. As soon as the game was over, I hit the roads. You know, we got to address a lot of positions next year as far as the point guard position. We're losing Logan McIntosh. We got to find some more inside presence and find us another sharpshooter.
How is it going locally? I know we've got Stephen Decatur's, Kevon Voiles, who's committed. I'm sure it's important to get local guys on the Eastern Shore to get everybody interested from around the Eastern
Shore. Well, it's very important for me and my staff to make sure that we get around to the local schools to see what talent is here. We don't want to let a kid fall through the cracks, and we want every kid in this area to get an opportunity to at least look at Maryland Eastern Shore and give us an opportunity to recruit them.
I'm sure if all the top prospects from this region came to Maryland Eastern Shore, if they all stayed home instead of getting dispersed, that'd be a team that could really compete in the MEAC.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, there are some very good coaches in the area, and Andre Collins is doing a phenomenal job, and there's a lot of other coaches in the area doing a phenomenal job, and I'm just excited about this area and what's about to come.
All right, so turning our attention now to the season and how things have gone. I mean, we touched on it at the first segment. We're basically living in Groundhog Day right now. Five single-digit MEAC losses. Most of the losses are shaping up to be the same thing. At some point, the Hawks have a lead, can't quite hold it. Other teams able to close out instead and producing sort of disappointing finishes there. How do you keep these guys' spirits up after the same old movie over and over again? More importantly, how do you get them over the hump to hold a lead and win it?
Well, you know, you could easily lose a team after so many close losses that we've had. we coached our young men every day to go in and practice hard and to give yourself the best opportunity to win that game. It's been very tough, not just on the team, but on me as well, because I take it personal when it comes down to those last second shots and the last play of a game. I take a lot of pride in executing. So when that doesn't happen, it obviously take a big toll on me.
At some point, I'm sure it becomes more of a physical thing when it comes to single-digit losses, either a physical thing of not being able to get it done, but also a mental thing of it's a mental block in guys' heads where it's like, oh, this is going to happen again. We know we've seen this before.
Well, you know, this is something that I've told my team from day one. I told them from when we started practicing. But when you have four freshmen, two sophomores who didn't play a lot, Tyler Jones played off and on, and Amar Frost didn't play at all last year. He was injured. So you're talking about two sophomores that didn't play, four freshmen that didn't play, one senior that only played 1 year for me. So basically it's a whole new team that I'm trying to teach a system to. It's a whole new team that I'm trying to teach and have them to buy into the process. Trust and believe in the process. That as easily as it's said and done, you still have to do it. And hopefully it clicks, because they know it's not the other team, it's us. They know that already, and that's why we've been able to not hold our head down, because we know at any moment it can click. And at the end of the day, for us in our league, it's about those three games in March. We're not playing bad basketball. We just haven't won. Now we just got to learn how to win with playing the good basketball that we're playing, and hopefully that can carry over into the tournament.
Such is the nature of the low major conferences. I mean, Coppin State got to the tournament a few years ago as a 20-loss team. I mean, it's a sort of situation where, I mean, you hate to say that the regular season doesn't matter, because it matters. You want to win games and do well, but figuring it out at the right time is almost more important than where you finish in the regular season.
Well, it's something that I shared with one of my players today. I told him, we had a talk on the sideline, and I told him, I said, hey, man, it's not going to be anything that I say or do, because I've given you all that I could give you as far as coaching you. It's going to be you guys deciding that this is what we want to do and this is how we're going to do it, and buy in and trust and believe in the process. When you trust and believe in the process, good things follow. I've been doing this for 25 years now. I told the guys that I've seen this movie. All they have to do is just trust and believe me. And we had a pretty good conversation. We had a heart-to-heart. And everybody's still in good spirits. We're looking forward to having Howard come in. They have a very talented backcourt, and they are playing good basketball right now. They beat North Carolina A&T, who was number one in the league, and then they followed and beat North Carolina Central. So they're playing good basketball. We're playing good basketball. We just have to learn how to win with our good basketball plan.
Going back to Saturday, just for a moment, a starting lineup that I'm sure folks who follow Maryland Eastern Shore, they've sort of, you know, do a double take at the starting line. If it was Myron Thomas, Leandre Thomas, and Tyler Jones, who've all had starting experience for Sean Hoggs, who was making his second start, and then Montrez Oliver, the local walk-on. It was his first career start, and he only played 2 minutes, but some of the regulars on the team, for lack of a better term, Ahmad Frostel and McIntosh, they came off the bench for that game. Was that to send a message, or was that just a sort of, you know, try anything and see what sticks?
Well, it was to send a message as well. Violations. So we just move forward, and those guys do the right thing, and we rewarded them for it, and those guys learned their lessons, so we're just going to move forward from that.
Okay. We're talking to Bobby Collins, head coach of Maryland Eastern Shore men's basketball. You mentioned Howard, of course, playing some pretty good ball right now. They had overtime wins against North Carolina Central and A&T over the weekend. And really, it just comes down to the R.J. Cole and Charles Williams show. Williams was the Cole from last year. Cole is him now, and he's just even better. And Charles Williams was so good last year, it basically become a sort of 1B to Cole's 1A. But those two accounting for most of the scoring for Howard means that you got to have someone really good to mark them.
Well, I was talking to my coaches earlier today about how we want to attack Howard. We can't just come down and say how we're going to defend Howard. We got to make Howard defend us. I also think that we have a 1A and a 1B. Logan McIntosh could be our 1A. Amar Frost could be our 1B. Myron Thomas is capable of giving us 20 at any time, 20 and 20. Tyler Jones is capable of giving us buckets at any time. We have guys that can do things. They just have to trust and believe in the process, because regardless of who we're playing, I don't care if we're playing the Warriors, we still have to go out and complete and trust and believe in the process, and the program and the system, because it works. So we just have to do what we do, and we're going to try to will the way that we want to play on them. Yes, they are extremely talented, but so are we. And I'm glad I got to will my guys to believe in themselves first.
Mm-hmm.
Will them to believe in ourselves first, get them to trust and believe in the process, and we're going to overcome this little small hiccup that we have as far as finishing games.
There you go. Defensively on those two guys, is it fair to say that we can expect both Ahmad Frost and Sean Hoggs to get significant minutes, one of them marking Cole, one of them marking Williams, as two strong guard defenders?
Well, again, we're going to do what we do. And, you know, against North Carolina Central, I went into the game with my list of things that I could run. And I pretty much went through every defense that we had to try to get stops. And we did a decent job, because I think they probably averaged between 75, 80 points a game.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in league play, we held them to 60-something. And the problem was we had three less points than they did.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked. We just got to believe that when we get to those close games that we're gonna finish the games now. We just got to believe and trust and believe in the process. And that's something that I've sold to them, I've preached to them, and just try to get them to believe in that.
There are certainly some moments down the stretch against North Carolina Central where it looked like things were going to go Eastern Shore's way. 2 minutes to go, that great sort of Showtime-esque transition move, Logan McIntosh's feet to Myron Thomas on the alley-oop. I'm sure they practiced that the first time we've seen that in a game.
Yes, that was a beautiful play. If you would have told me that Ahmad Frost only had 1 point, Leandre Thomas only had 1 rebound, Tyler Jones only scored 4 points, and we lost by 3 to the best, one of the better coached teams in our league, I would have told you it was crazy. Now, that's a game, like I told him, I said, hey, Ahmad, you only had 1 point. You average between 12 and 13 points a game. You give me 4 points, we win by one.
Mm-hmm.
So This team still haven't reached its full potential yet. I just don't want them to lose their confidence and know that they got to understand, though, they haven't reached their full potential. And I tell them how to reach their full potential is they got to study, they got to work hard, they got to do extra, and just be focused.
Howard on Saturday, and then a quick trip up to Coppin State on Monday. Both winnable games, to say. Coppin State trying to build a program from the ground up. They got Juan Dixon, the new head coach there, but the Eagles are starting to play some good basketball now themselves. Non-conference, they played UConn tough. And then Saturday, they knocked off Morgan State in overtime. So this is a dangerous team.
Well, I'll tell you that there's a lot of parity in this conference from top to bottom. So every night you got to come and play, regardless of who you are, what if your records are. You got to throw your records out the window, and you got to come and play every night. I mean, hey, we were 1-4. Central was 4-1,
mm-hmm.
but we took them to the wire, and they should have been beaten. But every night, you just got to come and play.
Every night, and we're looking forward to the next night for Maryland Eastern Shore. 4 o'clock, the tip time against Howard on Saturday. We'll have the pregame coverage at approximately 3:45. Then Coppin State on Monday night, 7:30 tip, and a 7:15 pregame. So Coach Bobby Collins, thanks for joining us. We're looking forward to another fun weekend of basketball.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with Coach Fred Batchelor of the Hawk women's basketball team right here on Hawk Talk Live on the Shore Sports Network and sfmsports.net.
Hello, I'm your waiter, Serge. Would you like to hear the specials? Do they include any wings, hot and cold sandwiches, and Smith Island cake? No, you'll have to go to M Street Grill for that. All right, see ya! Hawks fans, you want to sink your teeth into great food and watch the game, right? Make M Street Grill your new home. It's a sports bar and restaurant conceived by hospitality and tourism management program students and owned by a Hawk alumni. M Street Grill in the Princess Anne University Village, 410-621-5040.
Committed to serving you even better. McCready Health Immediate Care and Imaging Center in Princess Anne. Stop by when you need us and experience our expanded services, including 3D mammography for advanced early detection of breast cancer. Conveniently located next to Food Lion in Princess Anne and open 7 days a week from 10 to 8. Most insurance plans are accepted and no appointments are needed at McCready Health Immediate Care and Imaging Center. McCready Health, with you for life.
The Eastern Shore is a perfect place to visit year-round. A gem hidden on the lower shore is the Henson. Located in the heart of Princess Anne on the picturesque campus of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, the Henson is the perfect choice for campus visits, business trips, reunions, meetings, and relaxing getaways. Check into the Henson and we'll take care of the rest. Book online at umes.edu/Henson.
Training is about more than muscle. It's about inner strength. So I push myself. That's why I serve in the United States Coast Guard. I train with the best. A team that shares my drive and commitment. We collect intelligence, guard our shores against drug smugglers, and keep our waterways safe. Because our nation expects more. Discover a future that exceeds your expectations. Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Here's a list of reasons why AT&T prepaid is a great prepaid choice, according to Julius and Deb.
When you switch to AT&T prepaid,
you get two ZTE Maven 3 smartphones for free.
And two lines for $75 a month.
Hey, I was gonna say that.
Beat you to it.
AT&T prepaid has no annual contract.
No activation fee.
And AT&T's reliable network.
No hidden fees.
No credit check.
No compromises.
AT&T prepaid has plans for people who like great prices.
Plans for people who like great deals.
Flexibility.
Reliability.
Customers named Deb.
Customers named Julius.
Customers in Springfield.
Customers not in Springfield.
The list is long.
Really long.
Thanks, Julius. Thanks, Deb.
You're welcome, announcer guy. Hey, I was saying that.
No matter your reason, switch to AT&T prepaid and get two free ZTE Maven 3 smartphones and two lines on AT&T's reliable network.
Limited time offer available at participating AT&T stores. Two for $75 per month requires two new lines of service on the $45 monthly plan each under a multi-line account. Account owner on auto pay. Reliable network claim for third-party sources, fees, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Details at att.com/prepaid.
Now, back to Hawk Talk Live from M Street Grill and Princess Anne on the Hawk Sports Network.
And we're back. It's Hawk Talk Live. Will DeBoer with you on the Shore Sports Network. Bottom of the hour from M Street Grill. It's still happy hour for 30 more minutes. Come and enjoy some wings and things and mozzarella sticks and things and various other things. The pit barbecue sandwich is a special tonight. $6 gets you pit barbecue and fries. Second half of the show, we've got Fred Batchelor for segment number three tonight, head coach of Hawk women's basketball, coming off of a 1-1 weekend against the two schools from North Carolina. So, Coach, we talked about North Carolina A&T for the Monday game, so we'll sort of gloss over that. Let's focus on NC Central, which was about as complete a game as I think the Hawks have played all season. Things came together both defensively and offensively.
It did after the first quarter. You know, they made six threes, I think seven threes in the first quarter. And I was just blown away because I don't think we made seven threes in three games. And they did it in 10 minutes. So it was kind of a little setback, but I thought our girls fought through and made the adjustments. And I think we held them maybe two more threes for the rest of the game. So outside of that first quarter where I thought they shot 70. When I looked at the stats, they shot 77.8% from three in the first half. But our ability to be able to get back in the game by taking those shots away later on and forcing them to take tough shots, I thought was critical in converting, which was really the difference in being able to get back on defense.
Well, mainly what it was with the threes was one player. It was Keshea White, who had 16 points in the first quarter, and she finished with 28 in the game. But you see 16 in one quarter, you think she's going to have more than just 28. That was largely Regine Martin who came in and marked her from the second quarter on, 21 minutes off the bench, and for the most part able to contain her, and nobody else was able to really pick up the slack.
Well, you know, that was the first time we had competed against her, so I had known she could put the ball in the basket. I mean, she was shooting 39% coming into the game, which is really good, and we knew we were going to have to get out and defend her at the three-point line, but we had no idea she was going to be able to get it off like that. And, And then Regine, you know, calling Regine and having her to call was huge, because I think what she does is she just makes things difficult for you. Every dribble, every pass, she just contests everything. She's got a lot of energy, a lot of toughness, and I would want her guarding me.
Certainly. And then on the offensive end, definitely sharing the basketball well against North Carolina Central. 19 assists in that game. I think that's the most that you guys have had against a Division I foe this year. And primarily in the fourth quarter, they packed in their zone, as Dave Bird noticed on the broadcast. You guys sat back and just played ping pong on the perimeter and hit the threes.
Well, we hit some shots when they went zone. Everything is timing. We hit some shots. We hit two threes because the zone started to affect us a little bit. They had went from a 2-3 to a 3-2. And it started to affect us one or two possessions. We went to a different offense, Coach Rakes has suggested, and we were able to knock down a couple open shots, which makes Coach Rakes' call very good because we knocked down some shots. And then it put them in a situation where they had to defend us. And with her being a new coach, I think we run a very unique offense that if you're unfamiliar with it, it can be a little challenging. If you haven't prepared for it, you're not experienced against it. And some of the coaches in our league, we can tell when we play against them, they're ready for it. They have different – they kind of attack our principles of our offense. And I thought with her being a new coach and their new coaching staff, we were going to be able to take advantage of that, but we had to get them in a man-to-man situation. And then, you know, Barisha Gill, Miles just made some really, really great one-on-one plays. But I thought they found people as opposed to running over people, and I thought that was the difference. And we also finished those plays.
So basically a mark of your establishment in MEAC, if you can figure out how to stop Maryland Eastern Shore's offense and prepare for that, and you're sort of a newcomer if it's still it's like, oh my gosh, what do I do?
Yeah, we've been running the dribble drive offense for a couple of years now, I really feel it's a defense offense that if things are going right for the team, if they're making the extra pass and finishing, it's a very tough defense to defend. Offense to defend, and a lot of teams will play us in zone because they don't want to play against that. And even if we hit a couple shots, they'll still stick with the zone because they don't trust that they can defend us better in the man to man with the way the game is called now. With the hand fouls and things like that, putting the ball on the floor and putting pressure on the defense makes it very difficult for you to defend the ball with the right lineup out there without either, you know, picking up fouls or giving up layups.
We're talking to Fred Batchelor, head coach of Maryland Eastern Shore women's basketball. Coach, you touched on Barisha Gill Miles a couple of questions ago, but she continues to impress. 20 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, not just a double-double, but leading the team in all three of those major categories in that NC Central game. She seems like she's as close to a lock for Rookie of the Year as one can find at this point in the conference.
You know, we haven't had a Rookie of the Year since Casey Morton, and I can't tell you how long ago that's been. She's assistant coach on our staff now. She's been out of school, I think, almost 10 years prior to that. So, you know, it's been a long time. You know, we've had a number of kids that have made the all-rookie team. Barisha has told me coming in that was a goal of hers. And the thing, I've never imagined that we would have a freshman. I've never had a freshman lead us in points and rebounds going into you know, the last month of the season. So, you know, she's been a special kid for us. I think she's taken advantage of opportunities. And, you know, we're continuing to be hard on her. And she's a freshman, and it can be challenging. And that's something that she's going to have to, because I don't want her to just be Rookie of the Year. I want her to be the best player she can be. And with that comes a lot of challenge, a lot of accountability. And sometimes for a young kid, a freshman who's playing as well as she's playing, you know, today in practice, I threaten to put her on the bench, you know, just because there's so many more things she can do. And trying to make her, you know, reach her fullest potential as coaches, that's our job. But sometimes it can be a little problematic or challenging for a young player like a freshman.
A freshman who's already so good and who Eastern Shore will have for 3 more years after this one. What's one thing that you're keeping an eye on that if she improves on this and adds this dimension to her game, she'll be unstoppable?
Well, I think her ability to knock down free throws consistently, because she has a good knack of getting to the line. That's her free throw shooting if that improves, she's a real, real tough kid to guard. I think the biggest thing is all between the ears and above the shoulders for her, and not getting emotionally caught up in things when things don't go her way. You know, if you look at the amount of minutes she played, she didn't play a lot of minutes, because there's times I'm trying to protect her from herself. Because when things don't go her way, I got to sit her down and let her get her mind together. But if she can, you know, focus on the mental aspect of it, she's a kid that condition-wise can play 30-plus minutes. But she's not playing 30-plus minutes. If you look at the stats, and she's still leading us in scoring and rebounding, And I think that if she can learn to, you know, to really kind of take that energy and use that energy and that passion that she has, but that it will be a more concentrated mental effort to stay focused and not get disrupted, she can be a the best player in this league in years to come.
Another dimension, we're talking about Gil Miles on the inside. On the outside, Kiara Eaton, one of her finest games of the season, certainly of the MEAC play, 14 points, 8 rebounds. And it seemed like it was the first game this month and maybe all season where she has looked like the preseason third team All-MEAC selection that the league voted her this year.
Well, I think against in our win against UMBC, she had 18 points. She really shot the ball well, made some good plays. You know, she sat out most of last year with an injury. She sat out all of preseason and probably the first 8 games this year with a broken thumb. And I think it's really affected her ability to be consistent in her timing and playing basketball. And I think, you know, I've always looked at Kiara as our best player. You know, I felt because what she could do on both sides of the ball, she was our best player. I thought, you know, CeCe was our MVP last year, outside of getting hurt, and then we had Hicks who stepped in and was our team MVP, which she earned. However, I felt like Kiki was our best player because of what she can do on both sides of the floor as well as rebounding. And she struggled. She's come in the last – up until yesterday, she had really been struggling. We were talking about making adjustments and doing some different things, but we decided to stick with her. And one of the reasons we decided to stick with her because of what she does on the defensive end. So it's really nice to get some offensive production from her and get her confidence going at the right time. And I think if she can take this game and use this as positive momentum, I think she can be a kid that really could be a problem in the last month of the season and going to the tournament.
Looking ahead to this weekend, we've got Howard coming to town on Saturday and visiting Coppin State on Monday. And it seems like the books on both are kind of similar. They're both 3-3 MEAC schools. They got one player who can really score. For Howard, Sarah Edmond, who's averaging 14 a game. And in Coppin, it's Genesis Lucas, league's leader in scoring at 18.5 points per contest. So it seems, at least from a sort of first glance, that the game plan is contain them, and maybe the rest will take care of itself.
And last year we played them. It's a little history to it. Last year we played them without CCN, without Kiki, I think, at one time. And then we played Coppin without both of them. And so now having both of them back on the floor, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what we're going to be able to do against them. But they're very tough. They're athletic. They're long. They do some things that, you know, the game we played them here was really, really an interesting game. Both of us shot the ball very well. But they just made the plays at the end. And it comes down to having a kid, which you mentioned those two kids on those two teams. You know, we have to have a player on our team that makes those kind of plays. And we didn't have that last year against both of those teams. And other than when we played Coppin in the tournament, we were able to knock them off to advance. However, you know, on Saturday, you know, we really need some kids to step up and continue to make plays. And I think it's going to have to come from our backcourt as well. We can't continue to depend on our frontcourt to do what they've been doing. And I think if they can just do enough to help us win. But it's going to take some front court play that's going to be the difference in us being able to beat both Howard and Coppin if we're going to be successful.
All right, Coach, thanks for looking forward to it. Best of luck this weekend. Hopefully next week we're talking about a couple of more wins.
That would be really nice.
And Fred Batchelor, head coach of Hawk Women's Basketball, a tip time against Howard on Saturday at the Heitch Center, 2 o'clock with a 1:50 pregame show on sfmsports.net. And then Monday night at Coppin State, that's a 5:30 tip time. We'll have pregame at 5:20. We're taking one last break. When we come back, I believe I saw Damian Drummond of Indoor Track walk in. We'll chat with him about all things of what was pretty much the original sport, indoor track. This is Hawk Talk Live on the Shore Sports Network and sfmsports.net.
Hawks fans, improving reliability with new technology and upgrades is only part of Delmarva Power's commitment to customers. They're also helping customers save money and energy with tips, tools, and programs that can help everyone reduce monthly bills. Just visit delmarva.com/everyone saves for more. That's delmarva.com/everyone saves. Delmarva Power, proud sponsor of Maryland Eastern Shore Athletics.
Pivot Physical Therapy is the leading provider of physical therapy and sports medicine services in the Mid-Atlantic region, with over 270 clinic locations and providing sports medicine services to over 120 youth, scholastic, collegiate, and professional programs. Pivot Physical Therapy is in your backyard with locations in Salisbury, Berlin, Cambridge, Easton, and Seaford. Pivot Physical Therapy and Pivot Sports Medicine is a proud partner of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, providing athletic training and physical therapy care to your Maryland Eastern Shore Hawks.
Hello, I'm your waiter, Serge. Would you like to hear the specials? Do they include any wings, hot and cold sandwiches, and Smith Island cake? No, you'll have to go to M Street Grill for that. All right, see ya!
Hawks fans, you want to sink your teeth into great food and watch the game, right? Make M Street Grill your new home. It's a sports bar and restaurant conceived by hospitality and tourism management program students and owned by a Hawk alumni. M Street Grill in the Princess Anne University Village, 410-621-5040.
Committed to serving you even better. McCready Health Immediate Care and Imaging Center in Princess Anne. Stop by when you need us and experience our expanded services, including 3D mammography for advanced early detection of breast cancer. Conveniently located next to Food Lion in Princess Anne and open 7 days a week from 10 to 8. Most insurance plans are accepted and no appointments are needed at McCready Health Immediate Care and Imaging Center. McCready Health, with you for life.
Caterers?
Setting up.
DJ?
Spinning oldies all night.
Gift?
Their favorite jazz album, signed.
Total party cost?
$550. Just send me your half with Zelle.
Oh, Zelle. That's already in my Wells Fargo mobile app. Sending money now.
Great. Mom and Dad's 25th anniversary is going to be perfect.
Send and receive money from just about anyone with a U.S.-based bank account. Wells Fargo, building better every day. Terms and conditions apply. The Zelle service is property of Early Warning Services, LLC, Wells Fargo Bank, N.A.
Your car has lots of lights. You've got headlights, interior lights, the light that comes on when you open your glove box. But there's one light that's the pest of the bunch, your check engine light. And at AutoZone, we have the tools to help you troubleshoot the real problem for free. Whether it's something serious or something simple like a loose gas cap, you'll get a MyZone health report to help save you money and hassle down the road. So if your check engine light comes on, come on over to AutoZone and let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Now, back to Hawk Talk Live from M Street Grill in Princess Anne on the Hawk Sports Network.
And we're back. It's the final segment of Hawk Talk Live tonight. We've touched on men's basketball, women's basketball. Now we're going to take a look at a sport they don't always have around the country. Everyone knows cross country. Everyone knows outdoor track. What if I told you there was more to that? Indoor track. And the man who leads the Hawks in all three of those is with us right now. It's Damian Drummond, everybody. Hi, Coach.
Hi, good evening.
Good to have you here. So your first season as a coach of all three of those at Maryland Eastern Shore. We're on indoor track right now, the middle one. How do you think it's gone so far?
Interesting. First year jitters, learning the program learning me. Definitely not an unfamiliar territory as far as it relates to competing against other schools in the conference. Obviously, I was in a neighboring school. So that part of it is, quite productive. The other part is just getting a group of folks to just move in the direction of being successful.
Now, whoever holds this job, whether it's you or whether it's anybody else or in any other school that has all three, it's sort of a throwback. A college coach that oversees more than one sport. I mean, in the old days before the NCAA really expanded, you'd sometimes have coaches do football and baseball, football and basketball, football, basketball, and baseball. But you coach all three, the cross country, the indoor track, and the outdoor track. What is it like to oversee three sports that at their core are the same, but in a lot of other ways are very different?
Well, I mean, we're talking about, multiple athletes upward at any point. Most programs, you're talking about, 50 to 60 athletes per gender. Fortunately for me at this point, we're just barely tapping into, 40. So my vision is to have approximately 60 to 70 kids by next season. So you can just imagine how recruiting is going for us right now, touching all angles, all bases, but to be in charge of all six, it's a task. It's not an unfamiliar task, not a tough task. It's one of those things that got to understand the balance, you know, genders, you know, and I'll often hear folks talk about gender equity and things like that. You know, I live that thing every day, from the student athletes to even my coaching staff, you know. And we spoke about tradition, and one of the things, tradition with track and field, you know, traditionally men, you know, took part in the sport. It's just recent, and we talking about recent, it's not that many decades that females started taking part in the sport. Yeah. And so just to be able to even keep more female inspired and want to be a part of track and field, it's a task in itself, and then try to deliver good result. So
with indoor track specifically, I was hoping for those of us who aren't quite as schooled in the matter, myself included, what are some of the differences between indoor track and outdoor track?
Definitely the weather. It's a factor. You don't have to deal with the changes in, you know, temperatures, you know, hot, cold, or windy days, rain, snow, the whole nine. The very difference is just the surfaces. You know, indoor track typically is a 200-meter oval. Outdoors is a 400-meter oval. There are certain tracks in the country that are oversized, upward to 300 meters of, you know, track surfacing. Then we have those advanced tracks that are banked. So we talking about tracks that look similar to, you know, like a certain NASCAR tracks with elevated turns. Mm. So when I say banked, we're talking about elevated turns and trying to go run a 200-meter if you're a male, you know, at 20, 21 seconds. And try to maintain, overcome centrifugal force. That's a task within itself.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And that's certainly don't have to deal with that in the outdoor, where everything, you know, just make it flat.
That is true. That is true. I mean, fortunate for us at Eastern Shore, we do have our own indoor track. It's a flat surface, which is more of a traditional surface, and it's surface purpose. I mean, we're proud to have such a facility to utilize. And, you know, often I remind our students that, hey, we're one of the few schools in the state of Maryland or even the country that have a indoor track to our disposal, you know, and for that reason, if none, we ought to be very successful. So that's the plan, you know, being in charge of, you know, both men and women's program, you know, to be specific, six sports, because they break them up. You got men and women cross, men and women indoor, men and women outdoor.
That's right. That's yes. Right. Now, you guys, earlier in this year, for about a month, made residency at basically the mecca of indoor track. You went to the Fort Washington Avenue Armory, the Armory in New York City, the Washington Heights neighborhood. It's a historic building. Track basically lives there when it comes to the United States. So what's it like to compete in a building with such history as the Armory?
Well, the Armory is my first home. You know, that's, I'm a New York City guy myself.
Oh, yeah.
So that track has been great to me. I set a national record there in high school, 600 meters. And so to revisit a place and see your name on the wall, that's amazing. And, you know, it's also serve as an inspiration for the students that you coach. New York City in itself brings about a different culture. And so as we talk about being a head coach of the program, when we do travel, we also think about the student athlete experience and being able to recruit a student and say, hey, we travel all over, but then to actually make it a reality where we're going to the Armory and we're staying overnight into a hotel and, you know, to get a chance to see what it's like to get, you know, sandwich from the deli or, you know, some people call it the bodega.
Yeah. So, it was in the Heights. Did you run into Lin-Manuel?
Was that?
It was in the Heights. Did you run into Lin-Manuel or Amanda there?
Yeah, but it's a great place. It's very, 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 very historic. I mean, you say the Armory anywhere, and, you know, even if you don't know track, they're like, oh, yeah, New York, you know. So I love it.
That's great. All right, focusing on the Hawks right now, we're talking with Damian Drummond, head coach of the Hawk men's women's indoor track. Successful day in Landover on Saturday. Tenise Edwards qualifying for ECAC and the IC4A championships at the triple jump. Sharon Jarup's going to the MEAC championships in her 3,000 meters. A good day overall, it seems like.
Well, I'm glad you saw it that way, and I'm going to support your vision. But I, as you know, any coach, we're just never satisfied. And so I look for more, I expect more, and I know we'll do more, and we will do better. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. We're going down to Navy, and historically the program has done well there. And so I think we're pumped up, and again, another great experience. Not every student athlete in the country get a chance to say, hey, I've been in the Naval Academy, you know, and been on base and things like that. So we're passing up a great opportunity this weekend to go to the Armory, where there are over 50 schools there competing in the Sanders invite, and it's going to be six schools in total at Navy. But again, that to me, that's a great experience. You know, that's historic, and it's something that our students – you can't trade that experience, you know. So
yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Navy's been kind to Maryland Eastern Shore,
yes.
So we'll keep going back there. And then after Annapolis, the Hawks coming home. They're hosting the Eastern Shore Invitational February 2nd through the 3rd. I believe the dates were on that.
Yes.
With so many road events in this sport, by design, it has to be a point of pride to have an indoor track to be able to host one of these and pull it off so well.
Right. What we're really looking for with having a home meet is, I want to say, to bring back pride or anything like that. But, you know, it's always good to have the home exposure. And one of the things that's different is that we're having the meet so late. I think typically when we had those meets, they were in the months of late December and early January, and most of the student population is away. And so this particular meet will be like, hey, welcome back. And we're hoping to have, you know, a lot of student support and faculty and, you know, surrounding community. And so it was very tactful in saying, hey, let's make this weekend the weekend, and, you know, to start out. And obviously, not trying to do too much too soon in my first year, so I'm looking forward to a couple of high school meets next year, and it would be my plan to at least have 5 to 6 competitions combined as it relates to indoors, and look forward to the completion of the outdoor track where we can put some icing on and on that track, you know.
Basically, take the strong base that Eastern Shore has in track and cross country, indoor and outdoor, and turn it into the premier program of this region.
Yeah, that is true, and that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that I, over the years, that I think has kind of went away a little bit, and not to say, well, being the premier, but just to have the idea of even SU, you know, Coach Jones, is probably one of the first guys I reached out to and say, hey, you know, I'm looking to do this, you know, I would love for you guys to show up, and spoke for a little bit. So I know SU, they've committed to come to this meet, and they haven't been to our meets in a while. You know, and we've even went as far as talked about cross country. So I'm looking forward to next year to probably do a meet or two up there at Winter Park, and, you know, just bring back that thing where the local community can see what we have to offer, and, you know, probably bring back a little rivalry, even though we do compete in different divisions as it relates to, you know, NCAA. But again, NCAA to me is just a title. And, you know, a man behind the jersey is a whole different character. So
indeed it is.
Right.
All right. Damian Drummond, head coach of Hawk Indoor Track. Coach, thanks for coming. Best of luck this weekend. We're looking forward to the home event in February. All right.
Yes, sir.
We're running out of show here, so I want to thank all of our guests, Bobby Collins, Fred Batchelor, Damian Drummond. You can visit EasternShoreHawks.com. for all the information on what we have just talked about here. Look for the show later this week on the Hawks social media pages and the website. Let's see, everybody got to thank Steve Clendenin at SFM, Jacob Brumley, our video producer, Raylan Wardlaw, Matt McCann, our floor producer, Ricky Pilot. Hopefully we'll be back next week. Our next broadcast on this network will be Thursday, February 11th, 1 week from tonight. Same bat time, same bat channel, same bat M Street Grill. Until then, on behalf of all of us here at M Street Grill, this is Will DeBoer saying so long and a pleasant good evening to you from the shore. This has been Hawk Talk Live on the Shore Sports Network and SFMSports.net.